If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to the New Testament letter of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, all right? Philippians chapter 4. If we were to put your internal thoughts, right, when it comes to your anxiety and some of your worries that you've been dealing with this past week, what would show up on the screen? Now, that's a pretty heavy question, and we're coming out of Thanksgiving, and some of us are still in that food coma, or maybe family coma, whatever it might be. And so let's start a little maybe more lighthearted, all right? I'll give you a little bit of time to think through some of that. So maybe more on the lighthearted side, coming out of Thanksgiving, you are anxious about wondering, when will the leftovers end? All right, will I have to keep eating this turkey? For us as a family this year, we went the barbecue route, so we went a little non-traditional. Yeah, it was great. And so one of the things I made was pulled pork, and I worked on that on Tuesday. And so I've been eating pulled pork and ribs for about 4 or 5 days, and I can't take it anymore. I feel bad about throwing it away. I put a lot of work into it, and so I ate some of it last night, and I told Lindsay, I can't do it anymore. I'm not going to eat this for like 2 months. So maybe you're struggling with that. Some of us are going, will my pants ever fit again? Right? Is it going to be sweats from here on out? As we head toward Christmas, maybe you're like me and I've been wondering about some of these things and have a certain level of anxiety. What am I going to do with all these Amazon boxes? I can't burn them, right? They're piling up. What am I going to do? Maybe this is you. You've been asking, do we really as a family have to wear matching pajamas? All right, that's a concern for some of us guys. There are some of us, you've been struggling with this. How many Christmas parties can one human being survive? All right, maybe you say, I got two. I can't go beyond that. It's just too much. And then this is for some of the young parents. You're asking about that elf on the shelf. He's coming back. He brings with him a certain level of anxiety, right? He's very mischievous, so maybe that's beginning to bother you a little bit. Well, let's turn a little more serious, and I want to go back to that question. If we were to put some of your anxieties and worries on the screen, what would show up? All right, so as you came in the church today, we all carried with us, I would imagine, 2, 3, 4, maybe more anxieties and worries that you've just been struggling with this past week and really maybe for the past few months or the past few years. So I want to help you kind of to begin to put this down. And so for you, it may be some personal anxiety, right? Maybe you've been asking yourself, everyone seems to have it together, but why don't I? Maybe you've been asking, I'm not enough. Should I be further along? We have family-related anxieties. We might ask, am I messing up my kids, right? Am I setting them back? Or the decisions that I'm making, or maybe the way I'm behaving in front of them, is it causing some issues, right? There's financial anxieties of maybe you're asking something about, am I going to have enough money to cover Christmas? What if I lose my job? It's kind of been up in the air. What will happen? What if I don't get a raise this year? I'm not sure we can make it next year. And so all of us have different anxieties and different worries. And so again, I want to ask you, what are you anxious about? Right? How would you fill in that blank on the screen? I am anxious about this. What is it for you? You know, throughout the year, we have anxieties and worries, but it really seems this time of year where we talk of joy and peace, that at the same time that we do have that joy and peace, it seems that our anxiety continues to kind of ramp up and it's present. And so we have stress that deals with family and work and all these different things. And so we just thought it was very appropriate that in this season that we speak of joy and peace. And that's going to be our focus this morning. It's been really our focus the entire series, but we want to really drill down into how can we have joy and peace even in the midst of circumstances that may not be ideal. Now, as a quick reminder of this series, the Searching for Joy series that we've been in, it's just been a wonderful series. We've heard very many, many positive comments about it. And the big idea for this series has been that we are emotionally and spiritually prepared in this holiday season. And so I hope that some of the things that myself and Rusty were sharing helped you during Thanksgiving. But the holiday season really is not ending. It's really just kind of starting to some degree. And so we want to be spiritually and emotionally prepared for this, right? We don't want the holiday season to be a drag and a downer and have all this stress, but instead we want to have that joy and peace. The big hope for this series is that we're living out the gospel. That really, that we're living in light of eternity. That all these different relationships that we have, these followers of Jesus that we love, many in our own family, it's just kind of just a preview of what it's going to be like in eternity in heaven. And then the big warning has been this, that anything significant spiritually will be opposed. Right? We have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the things that he wants to take from you is your joy and your peace. And so these things that we've been talking about, they are significant spiritually. And so we need to be aware that they'll be opposed. And so we need to really continue to dig into that. We have some work that we need to continue to do as we prepare ourselves. And so today we're going to be in chapter 4, looking at verses 4 through 9. And here's the deal with these verses. I did not know this until I was kind of studying and preparing for this. But these are the most downloaded verses that in the U.S. So digital copies of the Bible continue to grow, and that's great. And these verses here are the ones year after year after year that continue to get downloaded the most. And why is that? Because they deal with anxiety, but also how we can have joy and peace in those difficult and challenging circumstances. And so we're going to be in verse 4, but before we get there and before we really begin with the focus of our message, I need to say this. See, the big idea this morning is how you can have the peace of God. But what you need to understand is before you can have the peace of God, you have to have peace with God. And so you, as a follower of Jesus, can you remember what it was like before you became a Christian, before you became a follower of Jesus? Right? Wasn't there just this uneasiness, almost this nagging in your heart and in your soul because you had not yet put your faith in Christ? And so for you, maybe you're not yet a follower of Jesus, right? Are you experiencing really, again, that nagging, just that uneasiness, that there's not this ultimate peace in your life? What the Bible makes clear, it's because you don't know Christ. See, before we put our faith in Jesus, that is our trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin, what the Bible tells us is that we are at really this enmity, this hostility with the Lord. And that's because of our sin. Now, sin, often we think of it as, oh, I did something wrong, or I maybe should have done this, and that is definitely a definition of sin. But it goes beyond that. See, sin, really what it is, it's a direction in your life that you've decided I'm going this way, away from the Lord, that I don't want him to be really king and ruler of my life. I don't want his leadership in my life. Instead, I want it to be me. And so when the Bible speaks of repenting, that word just means to turn. That you've been going this way and you need to repent. You need to turn and go back to the Lord. And as you turn back to him and you admit your sin and that you've been living life on your terms, that when you acknowledge that, you're forgiven. And then you're secure in God's family. You're secure in his love for all eternity. And so if you've not put your trust in Christ, we would love to talk with you at the end of the service so that you can make sure that you are a follower of Christ, that you are secure in God's love for all time and eternity. All right, well, let's begin with what Paul has laid out for us in verses 4 through 9. And the first way that we experience joy and the peace of God, we begin with this, it's by trusting God and not your circumstances. Look at verse 4 and 5. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. When Paul writes these words, where is he? He's in prison. As he writes to this church in the city of Philippi, what are they dealing with? Well, they're dealing with some internal struggles and issues and also some external issues. Internally, this church was facing disunity. What we find in chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3, so right before what we just read, is that Paul really calls out two ladies in this church, Euodia and Syntyche. These two had worked together with Paul in the advancement of the gospel. These two were leaders in the church. They were very influential. But yet a disagreement had taken place between them. And given their influence, that disagreement and that disunity that they had was beginning to spread in this church and was about to lead to a fracture in this group of believers. Also internally, this church was very concerned about Paul. Paul's in prison. He's in chains. They don't know if he's going to get out. They don't know if maybe he's going to be executed for his faith in Jesus. And so they're anxious about him. They were worried about their friend Epaphroditus. He was a member of this church and he was serving with Paul. But as he was serving with Paul, he became so sick that he almost died. And so they were worried about him. Externally, this church was facing persecution. In the city of Philippi, many people were coming to faith and trusting in Christ, but yet many were opposing the gospel message. And because of that, persecution was arising. And so when you put all this together in the church of Philippi, they're dealing with these internal struggles, these external pressures. Another way to put it, the circumstances this group was dealing with was not ideal. But even with all of that, Paul tells them. Actually, he's more than a suggestion. What Paul says is a command, and he commands them to rejoice. And then just to make sure that they got it, he says, I'm going to say it again, rejoice in the Lord. Paul in prison, but he wasn't going to let the circumstances in his life rob him of the joy and the peace that he found in Jesus Christ. And what he had, he wanted those believers in the city of Philippi to have that. Yes, your circumstances are hard. They are not ideal, but yet you can have a joy and a peace. You can have a contentment in the Lord. And the same is for you, that your circumstances right now may not be ideal. That you got issues with maybe your kids and some struggles, teenagers, maybe you got some issues with friends or things at school, whatever it could be, you fill in that blank. Paul's saying, though the circumstance is not ideal, you can have joy and peace. And one of the reasons for this, Paul says, is because the Lord is near. Did you catch that at the end of verse 5? Paul says to rejoice even when our circumstances are challenging. And how do we do that? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is present. See, our trust, and that trust then leads to joy and peace. It goes beyond just those circumstances because we are confident that the Lord is with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And so I want to ask you, and I'm going to keep coming back to this in this message, what are some of the internal struggles that you have right now? What are some of those anxieties? And it might be with your spouse or with your kids. It may just be some things that you're dealing with inside that nobody else knows about, or really maybe you feel that nobody else understands. What are some of the external challenges that you're facing? Right? Maybe at school or at work. And so what Paul is saying, he's not saying those issues don't matter. Paul isn't saying they're not a big deal. He's not even saying we don't feel those emotions of sorrow and disappointment. But yet he is saying those emotions and that joy that we are to have and the peace that we are to have goes beyond those feelings. That again, even in the midst of challenging and disappointing circumstances, we can have a joy and a peace because of our trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we experience joy and peace by trading worry for prayer. Look with me at verse 6. As Paul continues, he says this. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, when it comes to this word anxiety, we need to clarify what Paul is getting at, especially in this context, because there is a healthy anxiety and an unhealthy anxiety. A healthy anxiety, or maybe a better way to phrase it, would be concern, right? We are to have concern. We have concern for our families. We want to provide for them and to take care of them, right? At our jobs or at school, we have certain concerns that we want to do a good job and we want to fulfill our responsibilities. And that is appropriate. Paul himself, you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you don't need to turn there, but you might mark it. But Paul's going through all these different challenges that he's dealing with. And he says, one of the anxieties that he has is for all the churches. And what he means is those churches that he helped establish, those churches that he pastored. He says, as he prays and reflects on them, he has this deep concern for them. Right? They were facing challenges. They were facing persecution. Some were kind of drifting in their faith. And so Paul was deeply concerned for them. And that was right. That's right for us to have concerns for others. But then there is this unhealthy anxiety called worry. Worry is where we constantly imagine the worst case scenario when it comes to our family and friends and finances, to our jobs, to school. Worry plays the what if game over and over and over. The word worry comes from an old English word meaning to strangle. I find that very helpful. That word worry is like somebody placing their hands around your neck or that rope and just strangling you. And that's what it feels like so often. And really though, as we drill down into what worry is, it's a lack of trust in God. That's what one pastor, I found this very helpful. He says it's this functional atheism. And this is us. Yes, we believe in God. Many of us have put our faith in Christ, but we don't act like there's a loving, caring Heavenly Father. And this unhealthy anxiety, this worry, what it does is it leads to a lack of trust in God. Again, this functional atheism, yes, there's a God out there. We believe that, but we don't function in that way. And what it does is it robs us of joy and peace. And while we should bring all of our prayer requests to the Lord, all of our concerns to the Lord in this context, what Paul is focusing on is those unhealthy anxieties and worries. And Paul says, do not be anxious. He says, do not worry, but instead trade those worries for prayer. See, we're to go to God and openly and honestly express those anxieties. Then as other parts of scripture say, we are to cast those anxieties on the Lord. We are to give those to him. But did you notice one of the things that Paul says? Not only do we pray, that is, talk to God and give him our petitions, we're to do so with a heart of thanksgiving. You know, one of the interesting things when you look at non-Christian secular psychologists, they talk about the benefit of being thankful. That when you focus on something else and you're thankful, it just changes your mindset and it helps when you're dealing with depression and with anxiety. But for us as followers of Jesus, I mean, how much more do we have to be thankful for? Of who God is and what he's done for us, the care and his provision. This is what we are to dwell on. This is what we are to be thankful for. See what happens, you go to the Lord in prayer and you give him that anxiety. But as you are thankful, it causes you to be thankful for all the ways he's provided with that certain anxiety. So just let me give you a personal example. You know, one of the things that I've been struggling with is I have teenagers driving. And I'll be honest, I've been very anxious about this. This is something that really has improved my prayer life. And so they go out, you know, and I care for them and they're doing a good job. But I have one teenager just got his license. Another one, he's working on his permit. Then when I get them all situated, I got one more coming. And I'm like, this is tough. You know, some of you have been kind of teasing me and say, oh, it's so great once they get driving and then you won't have to take them this place and that. I'll be honest, I'm not there yet. Okay, I'm struggling. But one of the things that has taken place is I bring that anxiety to the Lord. I say, Lord, I'm worried for them. Lord, I want them to be safe. But at the same time, I've been thankful. I'm thankful that, Lord, you care for them. You've protected them their entire life, that Lord, you love them even more than I do. And so I bring that request to the Lord, but I'm also thankful and it helps me in my anxiety and worry. And so you're to do the same. It might be an issue with your children. It may be an issue with money. And you bring that to the Lord and you ask and you petition him. But at the same time, you're thankful. And see, it changes our mindset and our focus. One of the phrases that I came across a few years ago from a pastor, I found this so helpful, I filed it away, and it goes like this. It says, worry is talking to yourself, but prayer is talking to God. See, in worry, we have this self-dialogue over and over and over again. We just dwell and we talk to ourselves over and over. But what prayer is taking that anxiety and giving it to the Lord. That we're not just talking to ourselves and worrying and being anxious and being really paralyzed by that. But instead, we are bringing it to our Heavenly Father, talking to him, being open and honest, and we receive his peace. That we remember his care and his provision, that we're thankful for all the ways that he's worked and moved in our life, and that changes our mindset. And we experience joy, and we experience peace. Thirdly, we experience joy and peace by training your mind to focus on the true and the good. Look at verse 8. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, and for Paul, finally doesn't really mean finally. He's going to go on for a while here. But he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul's saying, when you're anxious, when you're worried, go to the Lord in prayer. Be thankful. But he doesn't end there. It's very interesting. He also says we need to focus on the right things, that we need to focus on what is good and true and beautiful. A few weeks ago, we hosted a parenting conference, and one of the breakout sessions that I attended, one of the speakers, he did a really good job. It was on anxiety and depression in teenagers. Very helpful. And he mentioned, and he said, it takes a lot of work. He was very clear about this. He said it many times. But he said, one of the things with our mind, it's a muscle that can be trained. And so just like you would go to the gym and maybe have a weak back or whatever it might be, and you can train those muscles to strengthen it, he said you can do the same with your mind. And so with those negative thoughts and those anxieties and those worries that come in, we may not always be able to stop what comes into our mind, but yet we can train ourselves to focus on what is good and right and true and beautiful. We can focus on all the ways that the Lord has blessed us. And so when our mind wants to let that in, or when our mind wants to go this way, instead we focus on what is good and true and right. And as we focus on these things, just like in our prayers, our mindset begins to shift, and our joy and our peace is no longer taken and robbed from us. Instead, we have the joy and the peace of God. You know, one of the things I want you to look at the screen here, this is a very good image. We've all are aware of the Oregon Trail, you know, where thousands of wagons went on this certain path to get out west. But one of the interesting things, and these are still found today, and this is found at the Gunsey Ruts, this is what it's called, the Gunsey Ruts, is that so many wagons and so many wheels went over this kind of soft sandstone type of stuff, that there's these deep ruts. That particular one on the screen is maybe 3 to 5 feet deep. This is the image that I want you to have, right? When it comes to mentally kind of how we process things, we can have these negative mental ruts. And we go to the same place over and over and over again, that it just, like this image, it kind of drills this path. And this is where we go. And so we can do that, and we often do that in a negative sense. And so we say things, and we go places such as this. I always mess up. I'm no good. That's one of the ruts that many of us create. Another rut is when something happens, our mind, it goes to the negative, and we only see the problem. Or we have a challenge, and we play this what if game over and over again. What about this? And what about this? And worry grows, and it just paralyzes us. And we get stuck in that mental place of just fear and anxiety and stress. But it doesn't have to be that way. Instead of those mental ruts that are so negative, instead they can be positive. But this takes work. It's like that speaker was saying, it's hard and it's challenging, but yet we can have those positive mental ruts. We can begin to form those instead. And so some of you, again, you're beating yourself up. You don't think you measure up. But for you, a new mental pathway is you need to remind yourself that you are beautiful and made in the image of God. That before you were born, God knew you. He gave you your personality and your skills and your talents. You need to remind yourself that there are people right here that love you and care for you. For some of us, when something irritates us, where we go is to think negative and to grumble and complain. But instead, we need to focus on the good. We need to focus on the blessings that God has given us. There are others of us, when challenges arise, instead of going to that place of fear or doubting God, we need to focus on His provision and care. Some of us, we're really down this path of being very cynical. The world is broken, right? Things are not the way they should be, and it just wears us out. Sometimes even as followers of Jesus, we get beat up by the brokenness, and we can get so cynical. But yet we need to remember the blessings of friends and family. We need to focus on the good that the Lord has given us when it comes to that good meal or sports or music or His beautiful creation, whatever it may be. Those are the mental ruts that we need to create. And again, it's going to take work. We can't just sit back. This is a muscle that we have to and must train so that we can experience joy and peace. And then lastly, Paul says this. He says to experience joy and peace, we need to turn truth into action. Look at verse 9. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, he says, put it into practice. And he says, the God of peace will be with you. See, knowledge is good, but knowledge is not enough. Learning is great, but it's not enough. Instead, we need to take what we learn and the knowledge that we have, and we need to put it into action. We need to put it into practice. And Paul says, when we do that, the God of peace will cover us. Paul's saying, you take that step and God is with you. Again, he says, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. He will be present in your life. What we're going to do at this time is we're going to take a few minutes to put into action what Paul has been telling us in these verses. Now, I don't want to create some anxiety for some of you. This won't be that bad, okay? But what we're going to do is begin. I got kind of a couple steps I want you to kind of write down and follow. But the first way that we're going to start, or what we're going to begin with, is I want you to write down your top three anxieties. Okay, so right now, if you have something to write on or take out your phone, you know, I'm sure most of you are the same as me. I have an app that I keep notes on. I want you to take your phone out and I want you to put down your top three anxieties. Now, somebody in the previous service said that I have way more than three, and that's fine. Write them down. But let me help you with this and just give you a few prompts, right? You may have something like this. It says, I'm worried about, and then fill in the blanks. I'm worried about money this coming month. You might say, I'm stressed and I'm anxious about my kids' schooling, how they're adjusting. Are they fitting in? Teenager, maybe for you, it's school, your grades in school and different relationships. When that speaker was talking, one of the things he said that causes anxiety and depression in our teenagers is just the pressure of school. So maybe that's how you feel. Maybe you feel being left out. So I want you to write down those top three anxieties. And then what we're going to do, step two, is we're going to take those anxieties to the Lord. So it's your kids or a relationship or money, whatever it may be. You're going to take that to the Lord and openly and honestly cast that to him. You're going to pray about it. And then our third step is to be thankful and to focus on what is good and true. So very practically, here's an example of what this might look like. And I'm going to use the example of money, but you can fill in the blank with something else. It might be a prayer that says something along these lines. Lord, I'm worried about money for this upcoming month. But Lord, I know that you care about me and my family. And so I ask you to provide. And Lord, I thank you for providing in the past. Heavenly Father, bring to my mind your love and your care for me. And so I would ask at this time, if you please close your eyes and bow your head. And we're going to take a few moments to put what Paul has been saying into action. And I know it might feel a little bit awkward, but this is something that we have to grow in. And so again, identify those anxieties. Acknowledge that to the Lord. And then take those anxieties to God. And you may need to begin with actually a prayer of forgiveness, saying, Lord, forgive me for the sin of my worry. The Lord, it's gone beyond just concern. It's just this almost paralyzing anxiety I have. But then take that anxiety and cast it to him. Lord, I give this to you. Then also be thankful for how he's provided. And focus on what's good and true, the blessings in your life, of family, of a good meal, of friends, of sports, of music, so many things the Lord has blessed us with. Focus on how he's forgiven you and never forsaken you. So let's take some time and focus on the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that we can bring our concerns and our worries and our struggles to you. Lord, we are thankful that we can be so open and honest with you. Lord, I ask that these anxieties that have been given to you in this moment, that Lord, you will answer those petitions. And Lord, that we will trust your response. Heavenly Father, we ask that each of us will work on creating those new mental pathways to focus on what is good and true, to focus on the blessings that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for your kindness and your grace. We thank you that you have proven yourself trustworthy. So Lord, we ask that we will continue to grow in our trust in you. Lord Jesus, we ask all this in your name. Amen.